Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, folks. Mike Cosentino here. Another edition of Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson is on vacation somewhere in the beautiful USA, and out of sight, out of mind. So let's move on. We have a great show this morning. We have Jeff Jeans on. Some of you remember this back in a few months ago,
January.
Back in January, he's the guy that confronted Paul Ryan about Obamacare. Make a long story short, but we're going to talk about that story this morning a little bit and talk about the ACA again a little bit, Jeff Jeans' experience with the news media and after his confrontation with Paul Ryan. The situation is this, folks, I understand this is Sedona, and we have a big arts community here, and we're all good with the willing suspension of disbelief. You know, you walk into a theater and people are doing a production, and so you're willing to enter into their world, and the same thing with a visual artist or a performing artist. And but for some reason, we're extended this to politics, the willing suspension of disbelief. The criminal organization, otherwise known as the Republican Party, wants to kick 23 million, 22 million, depending on whose numbers you're reading, off of health care, off of health care that's working for them. And not blame them for it, and so they're starting to hear. They are starting to hear a lot about it. And Jeff Jeans certainly may have been one of the first to go and say, "Wait a minute." So, good morning, Jeff.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Right, and we should say up front that one of Jeff's issues is throat cancer. So,
yes,
his radio voice is such as
raspy.
It is. So we'll
better than the alternative.
That's right. Sure. Exactly. Better than the alternative.
Yes.
So for our listeners, start at the beginning. What made you do this, and what happened?
Well, it all kind of started after my in my past, I was a libertarian-leaning Republican.
Yeah. We had this conversation off the air that Jeff was saying he was a libertarian. I said he was. You'll see all over CNN and certainly all over Google that Jeff Jeans was a lifelong Republican.
Right.
We're hearing this morning on Chasm Radio. That's not necessarily the accurate description, right?
Right. I actually voted libertarian in the presidential election in 2008, unfortunately. After I went through I was one of the first people in the country to benefit from the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And when I was declared cancer-free, one morning I was just thinking, maybe I could share my story with other people and help other people. You know, maybe other people are facing death and don't know where to turn. So I went on Facebook and I searched Obamacare, and this is 2012, mind you.
Right.
And everything was not positive by any stretch of the imagination. I thought, well, I'm going to start a Facebook page called Obamacare Saved My Life.
Wow.
And, you know, share my story.
There you go.
And,
you started a Facebook page called Obamacare Saved My Life in 2012.
2012, yeah. And at that time, the exchanges weren't even active.
Yeah.
Because I benefited from the pre-existing condition insurance plan, which was
right.
One of the first provisions of the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And, I had naysayers at first, but over time, it just kind of snowballed. And, you know, people found me and said, oh, guess what happened to me? Oh, guess what? Here's my experience. You know, and whether it was a mother with a child with a, you know, a heart disease, a heart defect, or, you know, one of the men that helped me administer the page for a while was actually waiting for a heart transplant. The Affordable Care Act gave him 2 years to spend with his daughter and wife. Unfortunately, he passed away about a year or a year and a half ago. Yeah. You know, but the stories were real.
Right.
You know, I saw the human side of it.
Right.
And that's something that I think a lot of people in America don't really see. It's not reported too much.
No, it's not. It's
right.
Not. The corporate media doesn't tell both sides, and we're started. That goes back to my willing suspension of disbelief. The truth is out there, but people are believing the stories. So
right, but and you know, as a libertarian in my prior life,
yeah.
We actually at the Sedona Film Festival we saw the movie Heal, and one of the doctors that was featured in the film spoke after the film, and he said, you know, when people go through a life-threatening illness, and that whether it's cancer recovery or something like that, he goes, he equated it to a cocoon and a butterfly coming out of the cocoon.
Yeah, right.
And he said, it's like you shed that old person, you shed that disease, and you come out as a new entity. And, you know, that really hits home for me and the other people that I've known that have experienced something like that. We can all identify with that.
Right. The,
you know.
The cocoon butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, and I.
But I can understand that the point I was trying to make is I can definitely understand only listening to one side of what you want to hear.
Ah.
When I was that way, my economic philosophy was, you know, that's all I read was that side of it. And then after my battle with cancer, I started reading the other side and started realizing, hey, maybe I had a couple of things wrong.
Since those days, you've confronted the Speaker of the House of the United States. You publicly, nationally, over and over, have thanked Barack Obama for saving your life, for his medical plan, flawed as it is, as we know.
Right. Sabotage.
Sabotage. Let's talk about that.
Let's not call it flawed. Let's call it sabotage.
What's that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, Marco Rubio, back in his spending bill in, at the end of 2014, actually, some people called it a poison pill. And when the Affordable Care Act rolled out in Arizona, we had more plans than any other state in the union. 81 choices we had. Not 81 companies, 81 choices of 81 different plans.
Yeah.
And some of those were nonprofits. Part of the Affordable Care Act, they knew when it rolled out that people that needed health care would be the first ones to sign up.
Right.
So they planned to have risk corridor pools, which compensated the insurance companies for the added risk during the rollout of the plan. That would continue to keep rates low until the healthier, younger people came on board, which would come over time as
sure.
People realized they were paying tax penalties, et cetera, et cetera. Marco Rubio and people in the legislative process in Washington cut the funding of the risk corridor pools by 90% from basically day one. So if you were a nonprofit insurance company and you were just breaking even, and all of a sudden they said, oops, we're taking away 90% of your revenues.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, no, you're out of business for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, fire, people are leaving the exchanges. Well, why do you think that is?
Because the intent of the act, the act as it was written, wasn't being implemented.
Right,
it was,
and
it was
the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Was a compromise between the left and the right when it rolled.
Right. That's what it was.
This wasn't a left-leaning plan. This was conceived by a right-wing think tank.
Right.
Democrats said, We'll compromise with you.
Fine.
This is what we'll do if it means more people get healthcare.
If it means more people get covered.
Exactly. Yeah,
millions of Americans get covered.
Right, and then they sabotaged their own idea.
Yeah.
And you hear Andy Slava talk about it and some of the other people, why people in Washington aren't shouting it from the rooftops.
Yes, exactly. Why?
It was always beyond me.
Yeah. Well, you're going to hear that a lot now on the show in the next many months, that people are the willing suspension. No, believe the truth. Find it and look at it and see it before. And it's there. That Obamacare saved lots of lives.
Call it the Affordable Care.
We'll call it the Affordable Care Act. Well, we're doing the media.
Even though my Facebook page is Obamacare saved my life, that was 2012.
Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah, absolutely. You're right, because they did the polls that people don't realize that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same thing.
Right, it's a statement.
Poll after poll.
For some Americans, not all.
It was crazy. But yes, the Affordable Care Act, with the Insurance Reform Act, in many ways, and not a health care act, by the way. It didn't reform health care. It reformed how to pay for health care, at least somewhat, and more was. And if everybody had participated, as you said, to add to your sabotage discussion, that so many Republican governors chose not to participate. The plan was based on some non-participation.
Right,
but
more sabotage, and that's the reason that's another reason it doesn't work. A lot of people that are complaining are in Georgia or, a lot of the southern states. Hey, I'm not getting a subsidy and I don't have health care. Well, if their governor would have expanded Medicaid, they would be covered.
It doesn't work.
Sabotage, exactly.
It works for a lot of people, as your Facebook page showed, and as you told Paul Ryan, it worked for you. And as I'm going to tell you now, I don't believe I've told the story on the air, but when my wife, just after she was diagnosed with heart failure, a scary diagnosis, to say the least, it was enough time after, not very long, but after the ACA was passed, the Affordable Care Act was passed, and she was scared to death. She went for medications the first time to keep her alive. And so we're standing there in at the drugstore, and they're scanning all the little barcodes, and there was 8 medications. And this is someone, like a lot of people, she was very proud that she didn't take any medicine. She's in her 60s, she didn't take any medicine. So now she's got to take 8 meds. They scan them all, and the thing dings every time. And then she says, "How much?" He said, "Nothing." And she cried, and she thanked, right, as you did, by the way.
Right.
She thanked Obama out loud,
right,
and the people in line applauded. And so there's this moment in her life, certainly, that turned her life around. Now, since then, there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars spent by the ACA to save her and to prepare her for a heart transplant.
Sure.
Whole other story we're not going to talk about today.
Right.
But we do want to talk about what made Jeff Jeans go. I mean, so you went to D.C. and tell us what you did.
Well, CNN contacted me through the Obamacare Save My Life Facebook page, and they asked me to submit 6 questions. So I submitted the questions, and days went by, and it turned into like 2 weeks, and my wife and I, actually, we got up that morning, and I happened to say to her, I was like, well, there's no, they just didn't like my question,
Right, right.
Nobody called. It's, the thing's tomorrow.
Yeah.
It was on a Thursday, and this was on the Wednesday morning right before that, and we were getting ready for, to go to work and do our jobs, and the phone rang, and I think it was about 8:30, and it was a lady from CNN, and she said, "Oh, they loved your question. Can you be on a plane to D.C. this afternoon?" So we have some dogs, so we had to scramble and
sure,
find a dog sitter, and my wife, she's a real estate very excellent real estate broker in, here in Sedona. So, of course, she had to cover her work schedule for a couple of days. And we drove to the airport in Phoenix and on a plane. And then the next...
Where did you meet?
Where did I meet?
Where was this conference held?
It was at George Washington University.
I see.
And it was Jake Tapper was the host of the CNN.
And
they, when they shuffled us in, they said, you're going to ask the first question.
Oh, that was the first question.
So right at, they said, we want to start this show off with a bang, so you're going to start the, ask the first question. So they shuffled us in there, and I practiced my question a couple of times with my
wife. You were amazingly controlled, calm. I mean, it looked like you did it all the time.
Thank you.
If that means anything, yeah.
Thank you. Well, I was on Fox News Radio a few times with the Out of Flagstaff, so I had a little media exposure, I
guess.
There you
go. Well, as Tom will tell you, there's very few experts in this room, when I'm in it, anyway.
Right, and I did run for mayor many years ago, too, so I guess that gave somewhat of a forum in speaking in front of people.
So what was his reaction? So you take the I want to set this up. You take the Speaker of the House, who is trying to kick millions of Americans off of health care for political reasons.
Right.
So one of the things we want to do this morning, one of the things we're angling for, Jeff Jeans and Mike Cosentino on Democratic Perspective this morning, we're trying to say, you know, politics aside, Obamacare saved a lot of lives.
Right.
ACA saved lives.
Right.
And politics aside, the ACA could be fixed, could have always been fixed, could have been fixed at any time. That you've heard before on this show, that the Republicans had 7 years to fix Obamacare, to fix the Affordable Care Act, and they chose every time not to. Yeah, it's like any other major piece of legislation. I don't care what it is. The Voting Rights Act, the Medicare, Social Security, all had to have bipartisan tweaks after they were passed. It was getting over the political stuff. Once they were passed, then they needed fixing. And they've never done that with the ACA, and that's we're not saying the ACA is perfect. Jeff Jeans is not saying ACA is perfect. It's saying it saved his life. I'm telling you, it saved my wife's life, and
it's good for the economy.
And it's good for the economy. It does what the other countries have done in many ways, and that is tax the rich a little more, and it benefits so many. So, we're going through your story. The next couple of things I want to hear was, what was Paul Ryan's reaction to your praising of Obamacare, is what you said. You praised Obama. Affordable Care.
Right.
But you praised Obama.
Right. Well, I thanked him.
Okay. What was his
reaction? Because without him, I'd be dead, you know.
Yes. Well, that's it. What was his reaction, and then the subsequent media storm, for want of a better term, since then?
Well, he was a nice guy. Yeah, I understand why he's in the position he's in.
Hitler collected butterflies.
Right, right. Okay. After when they took a commercial break, he actually called me up to the stage, and we visited.
That's great.
Subsequently to that, I've actually consulted with his health care team for almost an hour. So he listened to me.
That's great.
Although he didn't heed my advice or warning, he at least listened. The answer he gave was inadequate, in my belief.
And inaccurate.
Inaccurate. I was in a high-risk pool. Many of the people that practice advocacy with me were also in high-risk pools, and they all sound the warning bells that, you know, this just is a flawed concept that does not work.
Right. That was so. And since then, what's been happening?
Well, we left Washington, D.C. early the next morning, and my phone was ringing while we were waiting to get on the plane. It was ringing on the plane when it was able to ring.
Right.
We got off the plane. There was news crews there. It had gone viral. I think the original CNN video had 20 million hits.
Yeah.
It was, and then it just, reporter after reporter, it just snowballed. It was, you know, I was honored to be the voice for so many people in America that rely on healthcare for their well-being, to be able to enjoy the other freedoms that so many Americans take for granted.
There you go.
You know, I'm just honored to be that. And they think I'm a good spokesman because I was that person.
Right.
In a CNN interview, I told Don Lemon, I was Paul Ryan before I got cancer.
Right.
You know, I would have been Paul Ryan arguing about why free enterprise was better and for-profit healthcare should be the path forward when that's just wrong.
I'm going to take a minute. Jeff Jeans here spoke up for the Affordable Care Act to Paul Ryan's face in D.C., but I'm going to talk a little bit about a Brookings article about how to fix the ACA that they say first. This was in the New York Times, I think, before it was in Brookings. But Brookings, to me anyway, sounds, people, you know, right-wingers here in New York Times, they shut down.
Right.
But we want to talk about...
And CNN, too. Now.
And CNN days. And these days.
Right.
But a senior fellow, Henry Aaron, took the... excuse me, not the New York Times. The New York Daily News is where this article
comes from. I actually read an article for the New York Daily News.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You made the New York Daily News an expert on the ACA.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well,
this article probably came out before I...
Other thing I was thinking I need to say out loud because I forgot about this. You know, here I'm on radio. That thank you, by the way, and on behalf of the millions who got health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act, and I think what you did and what others have done has extended its life. And I think I'm going to ask you.
I'm just a guy that asked a good question.
That's it.
And I've actually got to give kudos to my wife because she had a big part in the composition of my questions.
Oh. Well, and she also had a stake in your being and staying alive.
If it wasn't for her, I would have been dead.
So
my doctors.
The New York Daily News says, and via the Brookings Institute, despite some genuine problems, the Affordable Care Act is mostly working quite well. Far from solving the problems of Obamacare, the Republicans' AHCA will make them worse. And they say that real leaders don't run away from problems, they fix them. The most important is that a compromise plan could have been appealed to and could still, by the way, and get enough votes to pass from both members of Congress. I mean, it's the other thing I suppose we need to mention once again, because the media hype leaves this stuff out because it's boring. But you have the House plan and it went to the Senate and it's being changed there. Now, because it's being changed so much, it would have to go back to the House. So this, whatever is going to happen, there's still a long way from, replacing the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And that's probably why I would like to hear Jeff Jeans, although I think we can predict it, they're talking about repealing without replacing.
Which Paul Ryan promised the American people as a response to my question that they would not do that. He promised the American people that. And so did Donald Trump when he was running for president.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, believe the real story, folks, that these people do not have your best interest. I saw something yesterday. I said, they just don't care. They really don't care about you. They have other things to care about. They have to care about the reelection. They have to care about campaign contributions. They have to care about all the people that bought them off. They have to care about the pharmaceutical industry. Those healthcare interests that don't want, the risk pools to be blended in with everything else. And actually, the New York Daily News article has a paragraph on you. Jeff Jeans of Sedona, Arizona, told Ryan, who is leading the fight in the House to repeal Obamacare, that he had been a small business owner and before being diagnosed with cancer at just the age of 49. I'm going to read the quote. I want to thank President Obama from the bottom of my heart because I would be dead if it weren't for him, Jeans told Ryan on Thursday night. He received applause from the audience.
The White House actually called us, too. I didn't speak with President Obama personally, but I spoke to the woman that had the most to do. She was a big driver behind the ACA.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good idea. Listen, at this point, I want to make take a quick little break here and talk about Steve Segner and his crew over at the El Portal Hotel, beautiful little boutique hotel, a big supporter of Democratic Perspective. His breakfast crew, SP and Sylvia, Marie, are all over there, and I'll be seeing them soon. And we want to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks for their support of Democratic Perspective over the years. And please check out their monthly breakfast, and I'm pretty sure they're continuing. I know they are continuing their breakfast all summer long. Usually they turn them off in the summer. People leave Sedona in the summer, but apparently there's enough activity this year. The one thing, I can't say anything good about Trump. I said I have to trash him at least because he is a lunatic and he's leading the country. But he is a great recruiter for reasonable organizations. I'm not even going to call them left-wing organizations, but places like things like Democrats of the Red Rocks are seeing huge or at least good attendance. They always had good attendance, to seeing even better attendance at their monthly breakfasts at the old Sedona Bar and Grill. And they always have a speaker. Last month it was Steve Farley, candidate for governor. I think this month it's going to be a candidate for state superintendent of public instruction. But you can find out for sure and tell me on their website, DORR of Sedona, one of our sponsors. We want to talk about a little bit more about, we're talking with Jeff Jeans about the Affordable Care Act and his confrontation of the Speaker of the House. So, and we want to make a clear line between politics and medical care, that as a plan for medical care, the ACA has flaws, that saved Jeff Jeans' life has some flaws, but it works for a lot of people, and the flaws could be fixed. But politically, we don't want to fix those flaws. And maybe this is, to me, these sorts of bedrock statements are important, and we don't say them enough, because we need to come back to these really simple things simply ugly politics.
I think it's important when we're talking about fixing it or doing something else that we emphasize the positive economic effects this has had. This was one of the driving forces behind our economic recovery. Of the 46 million uninsured Americans before the Affordable Care Act was passed, over half of them were small business owners, their employees, and their dependents. Over half.
Wow.
The Affordable Care Act gave 1.5 million Americans the freedom to start their own small businesses and embark on their own entrepreneurial quest.
Sure.
The small business in America is the backbone of our economy.
Yeah.
And I think everybody agrees on that.
Right.
Nobody really disputes that fact.
Right. Right or left.
Right. And by taking that away from people, I think it's going to have negative economic implications for us.
Yeah.
one of my friends that's an advocate over in the Prescott area, she had a kidney transplant. And in order for her body to accept that kidney, she gets a shot once a month that costs $10,000.
Wow.
Her husband owns a small business in Prescott that employs quite a few people.
Wow.
And, of course, they rely on the Affordable Care Act to be able to buy their own insurance.
Right.
So many people are like, especially on the, when I look at like the Phoenix news stations and the comments when they post a story about the Affordable Care Act, they're like, all these, you know, people don't want to work or they just have time to protest, you know, where's their work boots, blah, blah, blah. And over 70, almost 75% of the people that gained the insurance through the Affordable Care Act worked.
Right.
They're employed people. These are working poor Americans.
That's right.
It baffles my mind. I just, what do you say, Mike?
Well, we deal with an awful lot of lies. We started Democratic Perspective because we couldn't handle the Republican lies. This is a partisan show. We don't pretend to be nonpartisan. And so Republican lies were making us crazy 6 years ago when we started this. And so in answer to your question, what do you say? We just say people will believe Republican lies because they're so good at it. I don't necessarily have, if I had an answer, I'd be on, CBS.
And my friend over in Prescott, you know, they're thinking about, and we all are, hey, if this thing is repealed, what are we going to do?
Right.
I know people with very successful small businesses that employ a lot of people that are just going to shut their doors and go to work doing something where they can get health insurance. My friend in Prescott, she's talking about moving to, they've got relatives in England. They're talking about going to England so she can get the care she needs. You know, they buy their supplies from other people in our local economy. They go to the restaurants. They go to the shops.
Yeah.
You know, this is only going to snowball and make things worse for everybody.
There will be. And that was my next question. What next for Jeff Jeans? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, it's so important that we just do the right thing when it comes to healthcare advocacy. Yeah.
What can people do?
Well, one thing I don't hear many people say to do that I would preach from the rooftops is call your governor.
Okay.
I did an event in Flagstaff with Coral Evans last week, and she said, not only call your governor, everybody, of course, is saying call your senators, which, of course, you do that, but call your governor because the news stories say the governors are putting pressure on these people.
That's right.
You know, it's going to hurt Arizona tremendously if this thing is repealed. Our uninsured rate's going to jump by 50%.
Right.
It's going to have a, you know, billion-dollar effect on our economy on an annual basis. But what Coral said was be sure and call your city council people.
Oh.
Call your mayor.
Yeah.
Because when they email or call the governor is going to listen to them.
Right.
The governor picks up the phone and calls Jeff Flake, John McCain. They're picking up the phone and calling, talking to Doug Ducey. They aren't necessarily going to talk to Jeff or Mike if we call.
Well, we're going to repeat that, but I do want to say that Governor Ducey has sent John McCain had made a statement that he was withholding his decision as a senator on their version of the ACHA, TrumpCare, until he heard from Governor Ducey. So Governor Ducey sent him a letter that said and it was very wishy-washy. I'm not going to be able to quote it, but it did say something about that he's okay with the ACHA, the TrumpCare anyway, with the alternative plan. He didn't go into detail. He didn't say what was good about it. He didn't say, he just said he was okay with it. And so I'm not sure. And I don't think even Senator McCain knew how to interpret that, but that he did announce that he got his letter from the governor of Arizona, and this is what it said regarding health care. So when Jeff Jeans and others say call your governor, this is why.
And Heller changed his mind because of the governor of Nevada.
Yeah, right. Yes, right. That's right. That
you
was
know,
big
the,
news.
The governors have a lot more power than we do.
That's exactly. So, and that's the other thing I want to say is don't let up. If here it is, July, you still have health care. There's still all of the ways to fix the current health program, which is really, I think, is what's going to end up happening. There's going to be, I don't, all this talk about repealing without replacing hopefully will go away. Because I read one article the other day about all these old people are going to the town halls and yelling.
Right.
And they said, how can we stop them from yelling at us?
Right.
And one of the ways to stop them from yelling at you is to fund certain aspects, as you call, that they when they sabotaged in 2014, or one of the many sabotages of the ACA.
It just seems like a never-ending nightmare. You know, every morning I get, this morning I even turned on the TV and they're back talking about, you know, repealing health care. And I, everybody I know that's a health care advocate, we're tired.
Yes.
You know, we put in a lot of hours. We don't make any money. You know, we're tired. And, you know, you gotta keep on doing it. You gotta keep marching. You gotta keep going to town halls. You gotta, you know, and it's tiring.
It is exhausting. And according to, you know, my information, which is, it's intentional. They want to exhaust the left. They want to wear you down. Then they can do whatever they want.
And the worst thing for somebody, and you can identify with this, with having issues in your family, the worst thing for somebody that's ill or struggling or battling cancer is to put stress on them.
That's right.
When I was going through my cancer treatments, but the doctor was like, he's to have no stress.
Right.
I watched comedy on TV all the time. My wife took care of all the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. She never said anything bad or put stress on me about anything. And not only is the part about taking people's health care away unfathomable, as is when I think of it in a morality sense, but the fact that you're putting so much stress on these people is just,
Well, let's talk about that for a second. The morality of the this whole process, or the immorality of it. I'm going to ask anybody. I'll ask people why. Why? What is the point of the stress of taking sick people and their families, and there is nothing more stress. I mean, you know, every culture has a saying about, well, as long as you have your health, then things are going to be okay, or things are all right, or, you know, and yet this is the very fabric of society that they want to attack.
Yeah. Before the Affordable Care Act, one person in this country died every 15 minutes because they didn't have health insurance or money. Every 15 minutes, an American died.
Yeah, it was about 18,000 a year.
But, yeah, we're going to throw trillions of dollars at ISIS. People dying because they don't have health insurance killed many more millions of Americans.
That's the other really good thing about that here, you know, Jeff Jeans is on this morning. He's telling us the guy that stood up to Paul Ryan, and he's using the word death, you know, and for whatever reason, during the entire Obamacare discussion, very rarely, except for death panels, did that fact come up, that there were already tens of thousands of Americans dying for lack of health care.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, well, let's avoid that. And hundreds of Arizonans, by the way, I believe.
And that's supposed to be America's strong point. When we're threatened or our fellow Americans are dying or, in a, you know, if they're victims of a terror attack or a shooting, boy, we want to come to the rescue and do everything we can to help. But if they die because they don't have health insurance, well.
I mean, it's not funny. Yeah, we're laughing here. It is. You're right. We're willing to let our government kill us, but we're not willing to let foreign governments kill us, I guess. And yeah, I don't, I, Jeff, if you figure it out, you can come back on and tell us. This is why people say, well, by golly, we don't want them telling us what doctors we can have or any of the other ridiculous
So it's actually some of the best ideas I've heard are to have something like the Federal Employees Health Benefits Plan. Are you familiar with that at all?
Yeah, sure. There's lots of good plans out there.
And you could group Americans into large groups and have the insurers bid for the business of those large groups. It's going to spur competition. People are, you know, prices are going to drop. You know, I've heard a lot of good ideas. But unfortunately, we haven't heard them from Washington.
Well, we're talking about an idiot that said, who knew healthcare was complicated? I mean, and why the mainstream media doesn't say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Anybody that spends 6 seconds thinking about healthcare knows how complicated it is. And now I'm quoting George Will, another converted, more or less, Republican. He said, you're being kind. He said, the man's an idiot. If he said that, and he did say that.
But one thing I want to say, and I'm sorry if I offend you at all, but
it's okay.
Coming from that side, and when my story's been put out, there's people on the left that attack me because, hey, this guy didn't really care until it happened to him.
Oh.
And though that may be true, and though I'm not proud of the person I was before I got
cancer.
You're
here now. That's all I care about.
Can I say that? I think it's important that as Americans, we remember not to attack other Americans because someday they may become our best ally.
I'm down with that, except for Trump. Okay, you're right. I'm pretty good with that. I'd say nasty things about John McCain, but I back off, at least try to, and Jeff Flake, our two senators, and our five Republican representatives, I'll say nasty things, but I moderate them a little bit. But it's hard in this case. We've never had such an obviously mentally ill gentleman, and once again, mental illness is just that, an illness, and there's the only thing wrong with it is that it shouldn't be in the Oval Office when it's so obvious. The mechanism must be there. 25th Amendment. One of the things that we do want to talk about are the shows that are coming up. There was a Verde River conference in Clarkdale a few weeks ago. So we're going to talk about the health of the Verde River watershed. You know, in Democratic perspective, we like to do a wide range of stuff, and environment is one of them. And the environment under this administration has never been more threatened, or certainly as threatened at any other time in by government anyway. So they did have, and I'm going to give you a little sneak preview, not be like most news shows, and say, yeah, the Verde River and its watershed, which includes Oak Creek, by the way, and others, is pretty healthy. I've been here for almost 50 years, and I have seen the Dirty Verde earn its name, or at least it earned its name. But a little newsflash, the show we have on the Verde, we're going to have some experts here who are going to talk about all the aspects of the Verde River watershed. We are going to have another little healthcare show. We're going to have a heart expert on. Zane Kelpie is going to be on and talk about some procedures you can't get here in the Verde Valley. We're going to talk about how wonderful our healthcare might be, Verde Valley Medical Center, but we're going to talk about the University of Arizona Banner, where there's some first-class heart care.
That's who cured my cancer.
Going on down there. Excellent. Jeff Jeans, thank you for coming on. Please don't forget, folks, we have this show, and all our shows are on our website, vbid.org. Please check out Jeff Jean's Facebook page. Check out Democratic Perspective. Don't forget, we're on 12:15 on Saturdays. Please listen to this show. If you heard any aspect, check it out, 12:15 Saturday afternoon. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.